for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bishop Charles Carter of Greater Grace Ministries of Hot Springs, Arkansas, is the minister of the morning.
Brother Charles Carter, Bishop Carter, as the head of the Greater Grace Ministries here in Hot Springs, and we're just privileged to have him come and be part of the campground, not only here, but when you're all's not here, and we appreciate it and bless them for blessing us. Brother Charles, come and minister the word of the Lord here this morning. Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's about deliverance. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to give you a canvas. Just, I'm going to try to make it real small. Just a support system for what I'm believing the Holy Spirit to relay. Amen? But we need a foundation. We need a canvas, a backdrop. We need a support. Remember that Paul said he ceased not to give the people of God the whole counsel. Amen? Even after receiving a miracle or a healing, a deliverance of some sort, we need to actually begin to study what it was we were going through and learn how to shut the door so that it doesn't come back on us. Amen? Remember, Jesus told the woman to go and sin no more because she was caught in adultery, but also there was another person that was healed or delivered, a man, and Jesus told him that he couldn't go back and sin anymore lest a worse thing come upon him. Amen. And so it's crucial, it's vital, very, very important that you go back and study the ways of the enemy, or the way that he actually entered in, so that he can bring that particular situation upon your life, so that you can close that door. That a lot of times it's an area of repentance, and when I use that word repent, I mean it that in the light of disobedience to God, not so much in just the written word, but also his divine counsel in your personal lives by requesting that you move out into something that you are being slothful in doing. You have a personal relationship with him, and so he's not only going to have the written word, but he's also going to have a preceding word, a word that's going to come forth. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, that comes forth. So even the things that God wants to deposit, or is trying to deposit, or has deposited in you, or is telling you to do, just through your devotions or your prayer, and your, the Holy Spirit told me to go outside and to speak to Sister So-and-so because she needed some love, and then I would disobedience. All right. Hallelujah. To that. So it's not only just not doing the written, amen, it's also a rhema that we need to surrender to in our personal lives. Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. What we want to look at is, hopefully today, is deliverance, several titles, so that means it's a title with topics. Deliverance, I'm going to enjoy this myself. Deliverance through giving, or give your way out. We just got to kill that devil. We just got to cut him to the quick. Amen? Give your way out. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation, of course, is defined or translated as deliverance. It is the power of God unto deliverance or healing, or are y'all with me? It's the power of God. So we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, or to my deliverance, to everyone that believeth, that will not only hear, but surrender to what they heard. For believing is an action word. It's an action word. So unto everyone that believeth, the proof is in the putting. The only way that I can prove that I believe God is to surrender to God, is to obey Him in that particular area of my life. And so when a word comes, we're going to hear a word today that when it comes to proof in the fact that you believe God, there is your surrender to it. To reap the benefit thereof. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, the gospel that is, the word of God, for therein is the, watch this, the righteousness of God revealed in His gospel. It says the righteousness of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and, oh my, my God. We're going to look at a righteousness and an actual word concerning giving that is translated in a Hebrew text or in a Hebrew form, and in not only in the Hebrew form, but also in the days when Jesus walked on earth in the Jewish community. A word that is translated righteousness, but it is when we read it, it says to give. Are y'all with me? Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There will be an enablement, an empowerment. There will be an anointing released for prosperity in here today. It's being released even now. Remember, the word prosper means to break forth or break out of the situation, circumstances, or conditions that you are in. The word prosper means to do better in every area. It doesn't just mean when we hear the word prosperity, we have only identified the word prosperity with money. And we are talking about money. Amen. When we use the word prosperity, but we are also talking about, what about those other areas that are gray or that are not at its full potential in our lives? Are y'all with me? Okay. Luke 11 and 37. And I want you to see this with me. We're going to turn some pages this morning. The Bible says, and as he spake, talking about Jesus, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Marveled at the not washing of the outward. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part, hashande, is full of ravening and wickedness, the heart. Then he says, ye fools, which means, if you look at it in various translations, it means you stupid or misled or mis... ye fools, ye senseless or stupid people. Now, a lot of times we don't see the Lord doing this. We read right over it. And we never see him calling a spirit a spirit. We never see him dealing with the person for whom and what they are. We read right over it. Watch this. He says, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather, watch this thing. He says, but rather. He said, you're washing the outside. But he's going to use a specific word here. This word is talking about giving. But watch the translation on it. He says, but rather give alms. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is in the red. and this is an emphasis, but rather give alms. Everyone knows that word, to be charitable, to do deeds of charity. But even when we look at it in other texts, when Peter and John were going into the temple, I want to try to touch on that and go there. When they were going into the temple, there was a man there. I'm going to hold some of that back. But to deal with the further down, to prove to you that it not only was just doing something for someone, but it also meant to give something to someone. He says, Peter and John says, silver and gold. So he wasn't just, see, sometimes we'll read alms and then we'll look at the meaning or the definition, but not go and see what the Lord is saying in the Word of God. And we'll allow that earthly definition or the Webster definition or whatever to define the word alms as a doing something. And not so much the giving of one's possessions or the giving of one's finances. He says, but rather, they were making a big old issue about an outward performance and an outward show and ritualism. He says, but I need you to give alms, but rather give alms of such things as ye have. Not just to do a good deed. He says that's going to be a releasing and a deposit made into people's lives of your possessions. There's one passage in the Old Testament that talks about there are things that we possess in our lives that don't even belong to us. Not only a tithe, not only a free will offering, or when we're dealing with a building fund, as he told Moses to go and take up an offering for that specific project, but there's also things that we possess that belong to other people. Poor people. And when I use that word poor, I'm not only talking about the downtrodden or the people that are just hanging around the streets. For even David said, I am poor and needy. Even Paul talked about it. Paul said, ministers themselves are approved by necessity, for necessity is laid upon me. So you can be a man of God, woman of God, lay person. It doesn't matter what your position or title is. There's a place where you are impoverished. There's a place where you might have need that people are ordained to give into you. I don't want to run ahead of myself, but this is so good. It is. When God began to bless me, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. Let's see if we need to. Such things ye have, and behold, as I was dealing with this, I thought about the deliverance minister, Sister Coffin, everybody. And then after you read on, listen to what it says. It says, and behold, all things are clean unto you. That word alms, if you take your time and just kind of play with it for a while, just meditate on it through different Bibles and different study dictionaries and concordances, you will find that that word means righteousness. But rather give alms. Do righteousness. He showed there that that was an inward characteristic or trait. That was a state of the heart. He says, but rather do or give alms or give or walk in righteousness. Come on, I'll show you something. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. And I want to show you something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because there's several things that are to be recognized here. I pray that Holy Spirit's emphasis on the word poor becomes, it's broadened inside of us, that it doesn't just mean the person on the street, that it means a lack in anyone's life, some lack. That's why prayer was crucial. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Paul is in need. Paul has need of, so as a man of God, don't ever let anybody tell you in ministry that you don't have an anointing to release. I like this today, that you don't have an anointing to release, that all of your need be met because you don't have $30 million as a minister. For Paul didn't have $30 million. But he still said in Philippians 4, because they gave unto him. That wasn't a place that he was getting finances for the church there. That there was some necessities upon his life there. Hope we can just take a peep at that too. And because they gave unto him and ministered unto him, he says, "My God shall supply all your need." But a man who was always in need now is got the ability and the anointing. It's about an anointing. It's not about our possessions. And folks will tell you, that's a spirit of pride to tell people and to minister to people that, you know, if you don't have wealth, you can't release a prosperity anointing. Well, somebody better talk to Paul and tell him he can't do it. Because it's about the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the presence of God that does the work. Amen? And the presence of God might want to give someone the ability or the enablement to prosper in their finances. You can't limit God because you're limited. My goodness. He wants to set the captives free. Jesus didn't walk around with $30 million in his pouch, and the Bible says, and the woman with the issue was made whole. Which implies, because remember, she had spent all of her living. So to be made whole means that there were some things that had probably begun to happen back at home. Some things might have begun to come back into her home. Some finances might have begun to come back into her life, even while she was walking by the way with the master. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to verse 1. And this, you'll be able to see that word righteousness better. Remember, the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. And if you read the rest of that in Romans 1, it says from faith to faith, or from word to word. Here a little, there a little. Verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men, or your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward. If you look up the word reward, it means payment. It also has the word definition word attached to it, Sister Amy, wages. Remember that when we are engaged in obedience to God, that is an exercise he gave us. And everything that we do has a repercussion, or it has a reaping to it, a benefit. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his..." That's a commandment. We literally, when we begin to engage into some group or some organization or some union, we want to find out, we need to find out what are the benefits. And I believe that sometimes we're taught not to, you know, do things, we're taught to do things for nothing. Oh, just do it. The Bible says even the master himself, he endured his cross for the joy that was set before him, because he saw the end result. He saw the purpose intended. That purpose intended brought joy to him for the joy that was set before him. That was purpose. God does everything and he attaches purpose. There's a purpose. He's not a mindless, purposeless God. And so why would he want us to be? Just go about doing things purposely. There's no purpose. I can't believe him for a return. I can't believe, even in the almsgiving, he said, guess what? You have a reward. I heard one minister teach that he said that when you give to the poor, I think he quoted the scripture, you won't lack. Well, that's a deliverance scripture. Because it goes on and continues, I believe it goes on to say that, and whoever hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. No lack. You know what that means? Where are you going to attach it? See, we sometimes, not here, even in the clergy, we are narrow because of our prayerlessness. All right. We can't be broad because we're not praying. For prayer causes greater sight. Getting in the right realm causes prayer, brings us into the right realm so that we can see clear. And so we'll quote things in our narrow sight of it. We're not seeing the full scope of it. And so when you see that in Proverbs where it talks about when you give to the poor, you won't lack, where will you not lack? It didn't specifically say where. Even Paul said it, all your need. What is it, faith? Oh, man, running ahead of myself a little bit. But even Cornelius, he gave alms. That means he was releasing some, see, his substance, as we saw, things that belonged to him. Could have been finances and other, whatever, food and clothing, whatever it was, the need that he was meeting of the person that was going through whatever they were going through. Jesus didn't necessarily, the Lord didn't necessarily, Sister Juanita, send him the things that he had actually given. But he met, we were talking about this on the prayer that Jesus taught. But Paul said, the need, through your giving, the need would be met. See, you not only will reap exactly what you have sown. You know, you give money, you get money back. But there's a broader scope. You have met a need. You didn't just give some money or give some clothes, but a need. So now that word, whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap in Galatians 6, has to come into play. What happened? What did you do? You met a need. You didn't just give somebody something. There was some other things going on here. Wasn't just money. You met someone's need. So now you might have a need, which what? Everything falls under. Every category fits under that. Sickness, financial discomfort. Can we just use a technical word since we didn't got high tech in the church today? And if we're not, you know, oh boy. But it's a category. Even with when Jesus taught on prayer, we've made that prayer so hard for people that's coming in, or that teaching. Yes, we know it's a teaching, but it also categorizes. It's sum totals. Each thing called out gives a sum total without you having to say, Lord, give me some new shoes, or Lord, deliver my child, or Lord, thy kingdom come. Sum total. Why do we have to just this and this? And Jesus said, look, I'm going to make it simple for you. Just ask him for the kingdom to come. And we done took and said, don't do it. We get so high tech. We tell people stop doing things. Things that work. I like sum totals. I like to be able to say one word and it handles a broad scope. It handles all of my. Paul said, when you give, the need, whatever that might be, well, we have to rightly divide the word. Rightly divide the word. Look at this with me. Verse 1 again. Take heed that ye do not your alms or your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward, no payment. That word, remember, it means wages also, Brother Glenn. So if it means wages, that means that this is a spiritual exercise. This is a labor of some type. This is reward also implies that there will be a building up, that there will be an exchange going on here. This for that. You have your reward. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven doing this. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, of course it means to give to the person who is poor and needy, which might be anybody and not just a person on the street. Ask preachers about it. God gives us visions too big. And places responsibility on laymen. See. Whenever a situation, a circumstance, or a problem arises, if you're the person that God has ordained to be over the household or to be over a ministry. That's why you see preachers putting on a whole bunch of hats. That's called responding. They're responsible people. Responsible people respond. Whenever you release things into the lives of people that it is ordained to be released to and they don't respond, they're irresponsible. So, you know, one of the things that I desire the most about the body of Christ is I just want to know where I'm at, so that I can allow God's word to perfect those things that concern me. Am I a lay person? Perfect that laymanship in me. Because if I'm not, that means I'm in ignorance. And that means I'm going to miss some things that pertain to where I am. That means I'm going to be out of the wheel pertaining to that particular topic or heading, layman. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. Verse 2, right? Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites. Be quiet. Help people that are in need, but quiet them. Not only people that are in the streets. Do not sound the trumpet as the hypocrites. That's the light there. So wait a minute. Every time I talk about who I done helped, that categorizes, that means that I need to deal with that spirit of hypocrisy. I didn't know it was there. Are y'all with me? I didn't know it was there. As the hypocrites sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Oh, in church, if you want to call it that. In the temple or in the building. And in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their, there's the word again, reward. Twice here. But when thou doest thine alms, surrender to righteousness, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms are the righteousness or the word of God, because the doing of alms is the word of God, which would mean that the doing of alms is the righteousness of God. Who would have ever thought? Amen. That the giving to people that are impoverished, regardless of the rank, amen, has nothing to do. It's not prejudice. Huh? Need is not prejudice. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. It says the almsgiving has a benefit attached to it. Don't let it slip by you. It is the righteousness of God. He says, he says, hypocrites, they do it, but they tell everybody. But then also hypocrites have a tendency not to do it at all. That's why he's dealing with it. He says, and if you don't watch the text, you're going to miss a blessing. You're going to miss an area of your life that I've assigned this particular text to build you up. For the word of God is able to build. And so by not engaging in this particular text, it causes us to lack some strength, some power, some ability. And if you look in the next section of the chapter, and then thereafter, the next section, he talks about prayer, which, again, has a reward attached to it, a benefit. Everybody knows that prayer will bring what? Deliverance. So he just said here that reward is a deliverance in the area of alms. Because prayer, he uses the same thing on the teaching of prayer. Pray in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward. What is the reward? Deliverance in some area of our life. So the giving of alms has a deliverance attached to it. We're going to have to give our way out sometimes. Huh? I was praying one day, and I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I'm not feeling good. I'm a little sick, And he said, well, I got several scriptures and I don't do everything the same way all the time. He said, and the reason why you can't get it the way you're doing it is because I don't do everything the same way all the time. He says, so go to James chapter 5 and call for the elders. That's the season. He deals with us through seasons. Oh. That was the season that I was in. And let them pray over you, anointing you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. And if they have any sins, the Lord will forgive them. Amen. And he'll raise them up. And if you look in the next section on that, don't look right now, but in that next section, it leads from almsgiving. It has reward. It goes into prayer. It has rewards there, meaning deliverance through prayer, deliverance through giving. And then if you leave there and continue to go down, he gives us three powers of deliverance. Three words of deliverance. He goes into the next section where it talks about fasting. He says, and that one has reward there too, or deliverance in it too. Doesn't fasting bring deliverance? In Isaiah 58, it not only brings deliverance, not only in Isaiah 58, but in, what is it, Matthew 17, it brings deliverance to who is in it. But in 17, in Isaiah 58, it also brings deliverance to outside captives. Fasting and prayer. So each three of those particular teachings, Sister Patty, if you notice, if you're taking note, they all have deliverance. Read over alms and don't see deliverance. But see it in the other two. Prayer and fasting. And he's got the three together. Hallelujah. Let's see Acts chapter 3. Look at this. And hopefully God will bless us again. Are y'all seeing something in this? Who would have ever thought we can be delivered through giving? Hallelujah. But remember, the word of God not mixed with faith in them that hear it profits them nothing. Amen. Hopefully we'll turn there. Acts chapter 3. Am I right? Verse 1. Begin to read, Sister Carter.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour.
Yes.
And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful.
Ah, wait a minute. Read that verse again.
And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful.
He was lame from his mother's womb, and the way that the system was in those days, poor people, if we go back to Deuteronomy, he says, open thy hand wide unto thy poor brother, Deuteronomy. The way God had set it up was for the people who were doing good, talk to me, to help and give to the people who are impoverished. So that means that there would be a posture for them, some place in society, some place in the market area. But it just, look at where he put them. Y'all got to hear this thing God showed me. There was places that they would reside so that that word could be fulfilled.
Amen.
Because it was the word. It was the way in those times for poor people to beg. If you look up the word beg, it also implies to ask. Or the word ask implies beg, if you don't know. So when the preacher is asking for the offering, or God is asking for the offering, it also implies beg. Look it up. Just look it up. Look it up. So when you ask your sister if you can have that coat, or if you... If you can borrow that $5, he tells whoever's lending it, you don't hope for it back. So that person was begging and you need to give it to him. Y'all not. Y'all don't mind having a little fun. Hallelujah. But this was the way. So there was a place resigned for that word to be fulfilled. And the Bible says that they would lay him there.
Uh-huh.
They brought him there.
Daily.
He was assigned. That was his assignment.
Signpost.
Yeah. Every day to sit and rattle that cup, asking alms. Now, that word alms, remember, is translated righteousness. But he was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and the word beautiful implies flourishing.
Uh-huh.
At the entrance of the temple.
Uh-huh.
So while he was shaking the cup, he was saying, walk in righteousness. The word flourishing implies prosperity, deliverance, be at one's full potential. So he shook the cup at the gate called Beautiful. The noise that he was making was a type of evangelism. Give alms, do righteousness. Do righteousness. Do the will of God. Do the word of God as you're entering into the gate called Beautiful or flourishing, because everyone knows you should not go in the Old Testament into the temple unclean. So live right.
All right.
As you walk through this gate to go into the temple of God.
Uh huh. That's good.
He was evangelized. He was preaching. Every time he shook that cup, he was preaching. Do righteousness. Do righteousness. Do righteousness. Do righteousness. Every time he shook it.
Glory
to God. Do righteousness. Do righteousness.
That's good.
Do right. Read, Sister Carter.
My God, it's good. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms.
Go on.
And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us.
Yes.
And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them.
Oh, you see that? See, alms, not just a good deed, not just, you know, helping somebody across the street or giving them a ride, but it actually means to release, to sow a seed. Brother Glenn, he was not only preaching with that cup, the beggar. He wasn't only preaching. He was a door to deliverance.
My God.
Give your way out. He was a...
Yes, he was.
He was a door to deliverance. The obedience to that word.
Yes. That's it.
Has a reward attached to it.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Has deliverance attached to it. And he was a door. The needs of people are doors of deliverance. And the supplying of that need, the submission to it, is the key that will unlock a door of freedom for us.
Yes, yes. Lord.
Paul said, I need.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and y'all sent, and now y'all going to be supplied.
Mm-hmm.
Not needs, but need. It's going to be supplied. Read on, Sister Carter.
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none.
Which implies that they give finances, or something that can be spent, or something that can be traded, not junk.
Yes.
Could you hold that spot and peep with me at Malachi 1 and 8, please? Just hold that spot. One verse. I just need one verse. Just one. Just one. Just one. All I need is one. Right here. You just got to see this. Not junk. We take two.
Wow.
He told a rich young ruler, sell all that thy have. And give to the poor. He never told a man give all. The man just panicked for no reason. You never see in that text what he said to give all. He said, sell it all. Liquidate it. Fix it where you can move around with it.
We're
fixing to travel. I want you to come and follow me. But he never said give all. He just said sell it all. And give to the poor and come and follow me.
That's good.
So that means the rich young ruler, I would suppose he didn't have any junk.
All right.
Because to just for Jesus to tell him to sell it was it means that the stuff he owned had ability within itself to be moved.
Come on here.
To be sold. But Jesus was talking about him following right now. You know, where he could just get on the phone or just send a message to someone and say, buy the estate. It wasn't junk.
Come on.
And then the money is not what? Junk.
Junk.
Give to the poor. Sell it. Liquidate it. Turn it into cash. Cash, not junk.
That's good.
It has value.
That's right.
Read 1 and 8 quickly.
And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
is it not evil?
Oh, wait. See, this is the coffee's kind of scriptures. She uses these. It's good stuff. If ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? Read, Sister Carter.
And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil?
Oh, my goodness. Read.
Offer it now unto thy governor.
Give it to men of the flesh. Read.
Will he be pleased with thee?
Go on.
Or accept thy person?
Stop. See, men won't even receive you. Now, we know that the widow gave her two mites, and it was received of the Lord because it was her best. But see, we have
right.
the best and we give the worst.
That's right.
Ah, God.
God said, no way, Jose.
Come on.
He says, no way. He says, consider your ways in Hagar.
All right. All right.
Check your heart. Check your heart. That's what I like about tithing. And it's only 10%. And God says, guess what? It's a best to him. If he's at 10%, it's a best. And we can't touch the 10.
Just give it to the people of the corner. You ever seen folk don't like to get broken cars? We get them running and then they can break. But don't give me something broken. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You can. We do it. That doesn't make it right.
That's right. That's good.
For with the same measure ye meet withal, it will be measured back to you again.
Uh-huh.
But press down. Consistent bad stuff. Just consistently getting stuff we got to fix. Huh?
Oh, my God.
Consistently. Consistently. God says the carnal people don't even. You ever seen somebody get something that the people gave them that don't work? They might be saved to the brim.
That's right.
Filled with the Holy Ghost, fire, tongue talking, casting out devils and demons, but you give them something that's not good. He said, do all things without murmuring or disputing. You give a saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, tongue talking person something that's no good.
All right.
And see if they won't. Are y'all with me in here?
Right.
We getting ready to go home. Y'all know I'm enjoying myself. I am. Because the word is good. The word
Amen.
Is good.
Good.
God is good. Jesus is good. Go back to Acts 3. We're getting ready to go home.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Even we. And God says, you know, my ways are higher than yours. And thoughts than your thoughts. He says, and you giving each other things that you won't even accept. He says, and you bring this to the churches, you bring this to the homeless shelters, beneath the 10%.
You know,
broken, you know, whatever, you know. Amen.
Amen.
He says, and if men won't even accept, he says, bring it to the governor. If men won't even accept your persons, or if those that are in authority on earth have a problem with it.
Come on, you know, God got a problem.
Huh? No blemish, he said. No blemish.
God
no blemish on the sacrifices that he offered.
None.
No blemish. It's got to be the best.
The best. That's right.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
And we know that in heart. We know that in our heart.
Amen.
Read on, Sister Carter. 3, where you left off.
But such as I have, give I thee.
Uh-huh.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
yes.
Rise up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he took him by the right hand,
yes.
And lifted him up.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen. Amen. You can stop there. And in the New Testament, I like this. They didn't have anything on them at the time. And I believe that. But what they did have was the New Testament church inside of them. They had deliverance in them. Deliverance in them. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. And I want to show you something again, and we're getting ready to depart. Proverbs 16:6.
Amen.
Read, Sister Carter.
By mercy and truth,
yes,
iniquity is purged.
Stop. Isn't giving alms mercy? I just want to touch on a little bit. Even giving of alms mercy. Remember in Matthew 23:23, he said concerning the tithe. He said, woe unto ye hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Watch this. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Mercy is included in the weightier. To minister to those that are impoverished or that is having a need. And of course, let's not rule out prayerfulness. The seeking of God. In all of our ways, acknowledge him concerning that particular person's position and situation, circumstance. And be sure, we can have church in here for a minute, and be sure that they're not under the wrath of God at this time. Or the judgment of God. And we're not going to be holding back his chastisement and standing in the way so that they can be. For no chastening seems to be pleasant for the moment, but yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness, doesn't it? And sometimes if we're not discerning where a person is before we begin to help them, God can have them en route to their deliverance or be taking them through deliverance through chastening.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be prayerful even in the giving of alms. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Does this help?
Amen.
Amen. Read a little bit more, Sister Carter.
And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Amen. Read that verse again and just stop at the first clause.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged.
A spirit of iniquity. Study the word of God for truth. Study it. See that deliverance through the alms there? To include alms, Sister Patty, do you see it? It's a righteousness of God. And it's a mercy and it's a truth. And what happens? Our iniquities, we get delivered from iniquity.
Amen.
And folks fight iniquity forever. Sometimes we just need to give our way out. Amen?
Amen.
Malachi 3, as we close. I'm going to skip some verses in Malachi. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We have to keep that one in our little notes, huh? I like that. I like that. I really do. I like that. You're almost through. Have a lot more, but we can't get to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are y'all enjoying this so far? Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. The 8th verse. I just want to look at a releasing or giving, even of finances still. And I want to look at a deliverance, so we're going to skip some verses after 8. Read, Sister Carter.
Will a man rob God?
Go on.
Yet ye have robbed me.
Go on.
But ye say,
mm-hmm.
Wherein have we robbed thee?
Yes.
In tithes and offerings.
Now, when God says we have robbed him, remember in Romans, the 2nd chapter, he talks about if you that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? We know that the word sacrilege, that means the robbing of temples. Here, he says, when you keep the tithes and the offering, you commit sacrilege. You're a temple robber. They deal with tithing in the New Testament in that verse, Romans chapter 2. In that chapter of the tithe and offering. Read on, Sister Carter.
Ye are cursed with a curse.
Okay, we got it. We got the tithe and the offering. We've taken devoted things, sacrileges, or holy things to use for oneself. That which is committed to holy usage and kept it for ourselves. So now we've committed sacrilege, meaning we're a temple robber. And the Bible says, well, since you've done that, you've got a curse now on you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Read on.
For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation.
Yes, yes. That particular unjust act, Brother Glenn, actually tampers with the favor of the nation. It tampers with the favor of the nation.
Yes, you do.
All of our unrighteousness, or all of our, as Hebrews 4 says, or Hebrews 6 says, all of our dead works tamper with the favor of the nation. Even Abraham showed us that in his intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. When he said, if you find 50, and he continued to go on. And so God is saying that the righteousness you walk in helps to sustain the judgment on the nation.
Wow.
You know that in Jonah's story. His unrighteousness, along with all those sinners, none of them was with God. They were not people of God. They were not of his nationality. They had nothing to do with God. And so that intensified the wrath on the ship. You got a disobedient man on a ship with all sinners. You asking for trouble.
That's right.
But his life, Bible says, you are the salt
of the earth.
Bring preservation, or we preserve, or we sustain the wrath, the judgment.
That's right.
Well, we read, Sister Carter.
Verse 10.
Go ahead.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.
Okay, we're not going to touch that. Go on.
that there may be meat in mine house.
That's several translations or several pieces there that goes there. That meat is also the meat of the word. You have need of milk, and there's strong meat belongeth unto them that are of
full age.
So that means to have a good word.
Mm-hmm.
The more that we can obey concerning finances in the church, if we have a good minister, then that sustenance, that provision that God has placed into our hands that belong to that particular body, that particular ministry there, if the people understand, have an understanding, with all that getting, get an understanding, then it really is supposed to support that minister into the prayer closet. It's to relieve stresses and debts and worries. And support him into the prayer closet. He ought not have to have needs. I don't care if it's a handkerchief or light water and gas bill and so forth and so on, and gas in the vehicle. And are y'all with me?
Amen.
But it should support him into the... There ought to be evidence. Meat ought to flow because of those finances. Not a shallow milk word. I'm almost through. Read, Sister Carter.
And prove me now herewith, mm-hmm. said the Lord of hosts.
Put me to a test. Go on.
If I will not open you the windows of heaven.
Yes.
And pour you out a blessing,
uh-huh.
that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
We know that's the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me right now? Pour you out a. Your tithing and offering is consistent. Systematic. You don't have to be led. You know how folks say, well, God not leading me to give it today. You ever notice everything else, they got to be led. But you know, how come you're not being led on your tithing and offering systematically? Every service, you know, is systematic. It's an obedience. You know, it's been, it's a seed that has been planted. It's a posture. It's a place that we have been brought to by God that, you know, it's consistent. And when it's time to pray and fast, we say, well, God not leading me. Why you didn't say that with the tithe and offering? Because everything is based on the word of God. Everything is the word of God. Amen. Our prayer lives is in the word of God. Our fasting lives, our study life is in the word of God. The way we treat our parents, the way we treat our peers, the way we treat our ministers, the way we treat our employers, the way that we treat our wives, the way that husbands, you know, wives treat their husbands. Everything is in the word of God. And so it's not a matter of I'm not being led to be kind to my husband, so I'm not going to be kind. Talk to me now. So the tithe and offering and everything else according to the word should be what? Systematic. Flow. It's the flow of the house. It's the flow of the Spirit of God. That's why he's given us those instructions.
Amen.
Amen. It's for our learning.
Amen.
Read, Sister Carter, we almost through.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes.
Stop right there. We're going to get ready to go home. Deliverance in the tithe and the offering. And say, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. We know that if we look it up in that particular flow of the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi, it's worms and caterpillars and, amen, and locusts, but which are all, Sister Coffee, am I right, spiritual entities. In our today's life in the New Testament church. He says, you take care of that. Release the tithes and the offering. He's saying, I'll deliver you from that thing that is consuming your fruit. That thing that is also consuming even your growth. The devourer not only came to eat the fruit, it came to eat the plant.
That's right.
Before the fruit manifested. Yeah. Locusts and worms eat the leaves. They don't need no fruit. They don't need to wait till you've got a blessing. All they need to know is you're working on something. All they need to know is you got some plants growing. And they coming before you even experience the blessing. Shut up. Yeah, they're coming. And he says, if you release the tithe and the offering, he says, I'll rebuke. I'll correct. I'll bring deliverance. I'll deliver you from everything that is consuming
That's
your
right.
seed.
That's right.
I rebuke the devourer for your sake. The word devourer is translated, or if you look it up in the Strong's, it's the word seed eater, which also would imply or bring in your fruit, because there's seed in fruit too.
Amen.
So your fruit will be destroyed to get everything. The seed, the fruit goes with it, the tree goes with it. You got some animals like worms and so forth, they will eat your actual seed that's in the ground. That you never even got a plant or fruit come up yet.
That's right.
Deliverance through giving. Sometimes we got to give our way out.
Amen.
So, and then we got to keep that deliverance by sustaining,
mm-hmm.
walking in what God is the deliverance.
Uh-huh.
Stay with it. There are some things you just got to hold on to.
Yes.
Matter of fact, everything I know in the Word of God, that once you get delivered, you got to stay with it to stay delivered.
Amen.
To keep the door closed, to keep doors shut. Stay with it, because if I don't, the devourer comes back in. The seed eater comes back in.
Amen.
I remember one service we were teaching on tithes and offering, which we're not doing today. And the Holy Ghost said, tell them that, but of course, I might have to rebuke them, because they might be eating their own seed.
That is right.
It's a juice. That is good stuff.
See, if you're not giving it, you're eating it.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Sometimes we can't see it until we begin to act in obedience to God's word, even without understanding. Then he comes and says, see, now I can talk to you. You can sense me, and I can minister to you now. You've been eating your own seed. Don't do that anymore. Our disobedience causes us to become, can't hear the voice of God. Amen? But when we obey, then can he come in and begin to, what word can we use? He begins to build us up in that area and strengthen us and take us to higher heights and deeper depths in that particular teaching. And we begin to what? Be corrected. The word rebuke there. We begin to be corrected, shaped and fashioned and molded in that particular area of teaching. Deliverance. Sometimes we just got to give our way out.
That's
Amen?
Right. That's
Come on,
right.
Sister Carter.
That's
Help
right.
me. And we can go home. How many of you enjoyed the word?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God we serve today. I tell you, His Spirit is in here. Praise God. Glory to God for deliverance. Praise the Lord. We might look at one point that we may not need a deliverance in an area, and God speaks right to our spirit, and He goes straight, just like on TV. See those things just zap right straight through you? Glory to God, that's God just zapping right on to the meat of it, just getting right there. Amen. He wants to do some great things today. Let's worship a minute and tell Him thank you. I like to honor the Holy Spirit at this time and give Him glory. We worship Your God. We thank You. We give Your glory. Hayo Sata. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Higher. God want to take us to another level. Thank You for that other level, God, that You want to take us to. Let this be different from any camp meeting we've ever been to. Oh, glory. Higher. Let Your Spirit reign. Higher today. Glory to God. Thank You, Supreme, in our lives. Oh, we worship You today, God. We thank You. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As in old times, glory. God's going to restore your joy back even 100-fold as it was in the beginning. You remember when we first got saved and all we could do was praise Him all day? All we could do was just love on Him all day. We didn't even want to talk English. We didn't even want to talk to people. We didn't even want to answer the phone. Glory to God. Oh, God has got a special gifting inside of you, and you're going to do what He says to. Glory. He called you out even from a little girl. He would speak to you and show you things that other people didn't see. You have a gifting, and God is going to use that thing. How y'all feel God in this house? I feel He's going to use you. Glory to God as you surrender even more to His Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. The things that have need of healing, God has healed it.
Thank you.
Even now, He speaks in the bottom of your stomach. He wants rivers of living water flowing from that. Because what you experienced was for your growth and for you to impart to others. And to bring somebody else out.
Glory to God. Just worship and give him glory. Because I'm telling you, it's on you. The power of God is on you, and you might as well go on and praise him for it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. When others don't think that God can use that vessel, God can use the vessel, hallelujah, that we don't think he's going to use. Glory to God. Hey, alabahusata. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. He's going to bring it back full circle. He's going to bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your gains are going to be more than your losses. Glory. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know how far this thing go, but that's it. Okay, that's it. Glory to God. It's all right to smile in the house of God. It's all right to love on him a little while. Amen. It's good. Your prayers are going to be answered. That you're praying about. Woman of God, there's a specific need, and God going to meet that need for the person that you're praying for. Everything's going to be well with her. Gohosa. Glory. Wondering how in the world she know that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It's the Spirit of the living God that knows. Amen. Oh, just lift up your hand and praise him. You feel it? Praise God. He's in here. He is in here. Hey, yala mohosa. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. My God, one of God in the green and pink. My God, I see a total victory. Hallelujah. That's getting ready to happen. Even into next year, some things that you're hoping for God to bring to fruition. He's going to do that. That have been unsaved, that you've been calling out. Hallelujah, shall come to pass. Glory to God. God's going to deliver. Hallelujah. The person financially in their body of the things that's been holding them. Hallelujah. You're going to do a little traveling, and God is going to help you in knowing what to minister to that person when you get there. Glory to God, because you're planning a trip, and it's going to be so. You're going to make that, and God's going to bring his glory into it so he can be glorified. Hallelujah. In that thing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. He's good today. I serve a wonderful Savior that knows everything about me. How could you serve somebody that don't know everything about you? Don't you want him to get down to the nitty-gritty in your life? Amen. To everything in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woman of God in the blue. Hallelujah. I see some more money coming for you. Something you have not even said about anything. But it's coming in your hands. Because God wants to give you something. Glory to God. And it's going to bless your hands. Glory to God. And there's someone in here that's getting ready to do a project. And they need a certain amount of money to do the project. It's like a business. God is going to bless that. Send you the revenue. Send you the people. Now, I don't know what I'm talking about. But you know who you are, whoever you are. And it's going to send it. It's going to be soon. December, you're going to see a shifting. There's going to be some shifting and some changing of the guards. And there's some things God's going to do in that to bring it to you. Now, whoever you are, he's going to do that. Just what I'm saying, he's going to do it. Just what I'm saying, he's going to do it. He's going to do that thing. He's going to bless you. You think you feel? You ain't seen nothing. He ain't feel you. Just leave you just sitting there. I don't fill up a cup of water just to sit it down. I want to drink it. Amen. Enjoy. Amen. Maybe pour it on top of me. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. Hey, to the overflowing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. just stay in his presence in prayer. Stay before him, ask him. He's going to show you some great and mighty things. Glory, in your prayer time. Glory to God. He's going to show you some things that you're asking him questions on. And some people have been asking you questions about some things. But God's going to divinely begin to put, hallelujah, his word inside of you. His spirit the more to the overflowing. Hallelujah. Glory to God to give the right answers. Hallelujah, at the right time. Glory to God. He's going to begin to just, hallelujah, saturate you. I won't take it back. Glory. Listen, this camp meeting is not just a regular camp meeting. And it's not done at the season of Thanksgiving for nothing. Give him thanks because God is fixing to increase. We release that prosperity on the whole, hallelujah, this whole camp. In Jesus' name. Woo. Glory.
Come on and give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. 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 Some of the things that she prophesied to people, I receive it for me. Because it's, some of it is corporate. It's something that belongs to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. I enjoyed that word there too, because that prophetic word, because it teaches a lot of times. God will release a prophetic word, and if you're listening, you can receive some learning, because it's crucial that when you're counseling people or have to give people answers, that the timing of God is involved. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. How many of you enjoyed the Lord? Amen. 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 I enjoyed you all. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you today for the love you've shown us, for reaching down into our hearts and imparting another word of freedom, another word, another key that we can use to unlock another door, to receive some more enablement in our lives, to receive some more reward, to receive some more ability. For we thank you because you said that you had come into our lives to give us life, and that more abundantly. So increase our reach and broaden our shoulders, God. We receive it today. We thank you for it. Now, as we depart from this place, we ask that your presence would abide with us, God. That we would remember that you are abiding with us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. Oh, just a minute. And Father, we ask now that you allow the food to be nourishment to our bodies and to go and to the proper places that each meal, each particular portion of the meal is designed to empower us in. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.